I'm Renee Airy, Duckhorn Vineyards winemaker, and you can learn more about my wines on www.duckhorn.com.
Thank you for listening to iWine Radio. I'm Lynn Crelo Chamberlain.
Welcome to Wine and Dine.
This past February, Duckhorn Wine Company announced the promotion of Renee Airy to winemaker for Duckhorn Vineyard. She's the lead winemaker. She's the head honcho in charge of all winemaking decisions. And she's the fourth winemaker, only the fourth winemaker since Duckhorn Vineyards produced their first Napa Valley Merlot and Cabernet in 1978. She's joining us today to talk about her career in wine, and especially at Duckhorn. And there is not a single barrel on the property that right now that does not have her hands involved in its production. And there will soon be a release of a Chardonnay from Duckhorn Vineyards. Renee, thank you so very much for your time today.
Hi, Lynn. Yes, thank you so much for having me on the show.
So, you're obviously a red wine person because the majority is red wine. How does this feel to be releasing a Chardonnay from Duckhorn?
You know, it's exciting. I'm a red and a white wine person. I've always enjoyed drinking white wine. It's fun. You know, it's fun to do new things, and it makes sense, I think, at this point in time. We've been kind of playing around with it in the cellar for years, and we've had customers coming in and out of our tasting room, you know, swearing left and right that they had a Duckhorn Chardonnay in the past.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, we really just kind of sat down and thought about it and said, you know what, this makes sense at this point in time. So, yeah, started experimenting in the cellar, started looking at some fruit. We were actually going to put out our first vintage in 2011, and it wasn't the ideal vintage to start, you know, a brand new label. So ended up doing the 2012, which was the ideal vintage that we were looking for, and just everything came in perfect condition and just really how you want to kick it off. So it was exciting.
So what did you do in the cellar? I mean, did you barrel ferment this? Did you barrel age this? Did you put it through malolactic fermentation? At least tell us like what it's going to smell and taste like.
Yep, definitely. Stylistically, we shoot for about 90% barrel fermented, and out of that, about 40 to 45% of new French oak, and really refining the oak that we're working with, so not overly heavy-handed, just really providing texture and weight, and not necessarily, you know, in those toasty characteristics up front.
Okay.
We do about 30% malolactic fermentation, and it's done on a lot-by-lot basis, so we're constantly tasting through the process and just pinpointing lots that we want to go through. Most of them are partial, and we'll just decide when they need to finish up and call it done.
So how do you keep the other lots from going through ML? Is the cellar really, really cool?
Yeah, you have to be diligent downstairs for sure, and you know, you have to stay on top of things. And we do malolactic adds, so we use dry ML bacteria.
Yeah.
We don't do natives, so
yeah.
That's one way to keep it under control.
Yeah.
And then you just keep an eye on them and make sure they're not doing anything you don't want them to do. So,
what's the alcohol content on the final bottled wine?
It's 13.7, I believe.
Oh, that's very reasonable. Oh, wow. And is the fruit all from Napa Valley?
Yep, 100% Napa Valley fruit. Yeah, we sourced most of the fruit. We're working about 8 different growers right now. Most of it's from Down Valley, kind of a cooler, more temperate regions.
Okay.
We're doing Napa Carneros, some up on Atlas Peak, which is nice.
Wow.
And then I'd say Oak Knoll is about as far north as we go at this point in time, and trying to keep the acidities lifted to kind of help balance out that oak in the profile.
Okay.
Balance is what we're looking for. And it's a,
yeah.
It's a classic Duckhorn wine. It'll be in line with the style, you know, with the rest of our portfolio.
So when are you going to release this, in April, May, June?
So it's been released.
Oh, wow.
It's officially out. We're actually pouring it in our tasting room today for the first time, which is really exciting. So,
oh, wow. Good timing.
Yep.
And so people can even go on the website and order it.
They can.
Okay. I am fascinated by your academic background, and in particular, this combination of chemistry and art.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's very, I've never heard of anybody putting those two together. So how did that work for you? Because a lot of people study chemistry, but art is like, it's almost like a different part of the brain than chemistry.
It is. It's kind of two different sides of the brain. You know, for me, it made sense. It was more balance, and it was... chemistry was first and foremost. I started out with my chemistry degree at St. Mary's College in California and was really into that. But just decided to kind of get into art really to kind of balance it out. You know, I'd be in these labs all day long and decided to get into art. I was interested in it and just kind of liked, you know, having that creative side be there as well. So I got really into sculpture. That was kind of my thing. I did a lot of like wire work and clay sculpture. That was kind of what I was most interested in. And it just kind of helped balance out my brain a little bit. You know, it felt good to be creative and additional to kind of being that analytical side of thinking all the time, you know.
When you first came to Duckhorn Vineyards, were you working in the lab as an enologist or did you start right away in the cellar?
No, I came on as a lab supervisor, actually, so kind of to build up the QC program here.
Okay.
And at that time, we were, you know, expanding, building the Paradox Winery a few years after that and expanding at Goldeneye. And so to really get kind of a streamlined QC program going across the company.
Okay.
So then I moved up into like a managerial role and then into an assistant winemaker and then associate and then head. So I kind of came up through the lab, obviously still spending some time in the cellar as well.
So does winemaking, I would imagine that winemaking satisfies your need to be creative.
It definitely satisfies both sides of the equation, which is kind of cool how I ended up here. I mean, when I got out of college, I really just started looking for lab jobs and found an opening at Robert Mondavi Winery and started working in the lab there and just completely fell in love with the industry. I mean, what's not to love about it? And it's the fact that there was two sides of the equation, and you could be analytical and creative all at the same time was definitely intriguing to me.
Is there an artistic way to manage the chemical components of wine that affect flavor, color, and stability, for instance?
Yeah, I mean, blending is really the creativity. Blending and then, you know, all the pieces that go into the puzzle just as an, you know, overview of the process, you know, barrels, that's definitely the creative side. Something we do different here is we keep all of our lots separate until we're ready to blend for bottling instead of, as opposed to blending up front. So that's something unique, and we kind of let them evolve on their own and develop their character and show the soul of the wine, and then we decide, you know, how they need to interact with each other to get really what we're looking for, depending on what wine it's going into. But blending process is definitely the artistic side.
But from a chemical perspective, do you pay more attention to, like, pH or acidity or equally?
Everything has to go into the equation.
Yeah.
Everything plays a factor. Yep.
Yeah.
There's so many factors, you know, so many things that contribute to flavor, aromas, color, you know, all that.
A couple months ago, I don't know, before the end of 2013, I had the pleasure of interviewing Dan Duckhorn. And he kind of, he told me at the very end of the interview that there is in the future a release of a sparkling wine from Duckhorn Vineyards. And I was wondering if you're involved with that as well.
I'm not. That's going to come out of Goldeneye, and Michael Fay, our winemaker up there, is kind of heading up that project. But yeah, definitely something exciting.
So what does this 2014 vintage feel like so far? Are you suffering tremendously from drought, or are you satisfied that there's a little more rain coming right now this spring?
We are by far in better shape than we were even a month ago, 5 weeks ago. We kind of made up a good deficit of what we were lacking. Got about 14, 15 inches and a couple big storms, so that was really nice. And then timing is crucial. This is definitely the perfect timing for it. So we're in much better shape than we were. We were kind of in emergency mode, and there's some more rain on the radar coming up. We have a couple days, couple inches. So I think we're doing okay now. You know, right now it's still, obviously, it's warm out, so we're seeing some bud break, but
on
the risk of a little bit of frost, but I think we're skirting that okay. So as long as we get through frost season without too many issues, I think we'll be in good shape.
And when would be the cutoff for that, like the middle of April or even farther back than that?
Yeah, I'd say middle of April we should be clear.
Were you always, your whole life, Renee, were you born in California? Have you always been in California?
I wasn't. I grew up on the East Coast. I grew up in northern New Jersey, lived there till I was 18. My family was out there for years. My dad grew up in Southern California, and I think he was done shoveling snow and just experiencing cold weather and kind of wanted to get to back to warm, sunny California. And so we moved out just when I graduated high school. So at that point, I enrolled at St. Mary's up here in the Bay Area, and I've been up in Northern California ever since then. So when I got out of school and started looking for jobs, that's how I ended up at Robert Mondavi in the wine industry.
When you were a kid growing up, did your parents serve wine at dinner?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They're definitely wine drinkers. Yep.
Okay. Because, I mean, there are some people that it was like never even introduced in the family, and it was...
Sure.
Yeah. Well, so they're probably very excited that your position here as the winemaker for Duckhorn Vineyards.
My entire family is very excited. I have three siblings, so there's four of us total, and everybody, they're all wine drinkers. So,
but you're the only one.
Duckhorn fans.
Oh, but you're the only one in the wine industry, in the family.
I'm the only one in the industry. Yep, exactly.
Well, I bet they all have are members of the club, the winery club.
They are members of the club, yes.
When you're out walking around, what is your favorite vineyard to walk in? Like this time of year, just to check things out?
You know, it's like we have a pretty diverse estate portfolio. We were just out the other day with our new grower relations gal checking on vineyards, just picking up some new sourcing, that kind of a thing, which is always fun to do. Howe Mountain's always a great vineyard up there to walk out in Candlestick.
Wow.
Very different.
Well, Renee,
yeah, so.
You know, because so much of it starts out in the vineyard there. Renee Airy, we'd like to thank you so very much and congratulations on being appointed the winemaker for Duckhorn Vineyards.
Thank you, Lynn. Thank you so much for having me.
We will have links up for you to learn more. You're listening to Wine and Dine. You're listening to iWine Radio.
Hello, my name is Dan Duckhorn. I'm a guest of this great program, and I wanted to just convey a couple of thoughts that in my years in this business has evolved into a total satisfaction of the world of wine. And I think two things that I think we should all remember. One is that we have seen a great evolution of wine style. So all of us are enjoying the wine's drinkability now and its ability to go with a great number of foods. And then just finally, I think we're getting much more sophisticated. We're moving away from getting geeky about wine and putting it on a pedestal. I remember the old days we would sit around saying, oh, this smells like Norwegian cold climate roses, or it tastes like the smooth tannins of a Hawaiian guava juice. We're away from all of that. We're now enjoying wine for what it is, a great, great beverage. Thank you.